Anthony, Jody McDonald, Gary Myers here. How are you doing today?
Hello, boys. How are you? I'm doing well.
Hey, Anthony. So I want to give you credit that you were the first one to track down Jacob deGrom since Bertie Van Wagenen was named GM, and that was a great get on your part. And when did you speak to him? And I read your quotes, and if you just want to go over what he said to you, but what was his tone to you?
Yeah, I spoke to him at the end of last week. I'm actually going to write a little more on what he said at the beginning of next week. His tone was, I think, kind of what I expected, which was generally positive, a little confused. He, like the rest of us, doesn't quite know what to expect. And, you know, he's in easily the most precarious situation, the most unique situation, certainly when it comes to Brody Van Wagenen, because unlike some of Brody's other clients on the Mets, say Todd Frazier, for instance, or Yoenis Cespedes, those guys already signed their deals. Those guys don't have big deals coming probably, you know, ever again in their career.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob deGrom has not had his big deal yet, and his future, his financial future, is still very much up in the air. And really, he's the one that, you know, needed to be protected when the Mets signed Brody Van Wagenen and put kind of those checks and balances in his contract. We don't know exactly what they were, but at least one of them states that, you know, Brody can't be involved in matters of arbitration with him. And certainly things like that could rear their heads when it comes to negotiating a new contract with DeGrom if it comes down to that. So I think, you know, naturally, like all of us who are skeptical, I think DeGrom is wary of that stuff. But the other side of this is a guy who, you know, has been with Brody Van Wagenen for years and years, for his entire career now. He likes him a lot as a human being. He trusts him a lot as a person. So I don't think there's a real sincere worry that something's going to go awry. I think it's almost more of a curiosity of what's going to come next. But he's a Brody Van Wagenen fan. You can certainly say that. And he does believe that Brody's going to do good work here. So I would say overall the tone from Jacob deGrom was positive on this hire.
So if, and I know this would be speculation on your part, I'm asking you to speculate, the Mets come to a conclusion this offseason, in season next year, next offseason, whenever, that they can't afford to have both Syndergaard and deGrom at the kind of contract it's going to take, and they would be better trading one or the other, which of the former Van Wagenen guys is most likely to go, and who's making that call?
Yeah, well, let me clear up one misconception first. Noah Syndergaard was Brody Van Wagenen was never Noah Syndergaard's agent. He's with CAA. He's with another agent with CAA. And if push came to shove, and they had gone down the path where Noah Syndergaard was up for free agency or was negotiating a long-term deal, you know, maybe at that point, Van Wagenen, who was a co-head of the agency, would have taken over or had some influence. But as far as day-to-day stuff, that wasn't necessarily Noah's guy. He was Jake's guy. But in terms of, you know, who sticks around long-term, who do the Mets potentially look to trade, to me, the situation hasn't really changed in that they're not going to look to do that. And I think Brody Van Wagenen has been pretty clear about this early on. They're not going to look to trade these guys, you know, if they think they can win. And right now they're going full steam ahead. They are saying they believe they can win. They are shopping around with the intent of adding pieces this offseason, not subtracting pieces. So I don't see them trading Noah Syndergaard or Jacob deGrom unless they have another season like last year where, you know, you look up in mid-June and they're already out of contention. Yes, then at that point all bets are off and they're going to have to make some decisions. And frankly, you know, Jacob deGrom being the guy who's had the better past couple of seasons, is closer to free agency, he would probably be the one that makes sense to trade. But I don't get the sense that anyone is thinking along those lines right now. They want to win in 2019, and they really have no chance to do it without Jacob deGrom atop that rotation.
So Anthony, you said before that Brody cannot take part in arbitration, which makes sense because those things can get pretty bitter, as we saw with Dylan Betances and the Yankees a few years ago. Mm-hmm. What about in a regular contract negotiation? Is he going to be able to take part in that, or does he have to recuse himself from that as well?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, and that's language that is or isn't in the contract, and no one's been willing to kind of talk about that and deliver the details of that. So, you know, arbitration is kind of the messier one, and that's the one I would worry about the most, because, you know, anything incriminating that Brody Van Wagenen might have, whether it's something that's showed up on an MRI over mm-hmm. the years that none of us know about, or even just, you know, life factors, those things that Brody knows about, you know, those can all come into play. Like you said, it's a messy process. I think it's why the vast majority of players choose to settle before they ever get to the arbitration room, because no one, both team and player, ever really wants to go through that process where everyone's just both sides kind of sling mud at each other. So that one to me would be the greater concern. Whereas if you're negotiating a contract, you know, that's more of just a straight business decision, because if the Mets don't sign Jacob deGrom, he can become a free agent and he can negotiate with anyone else. And if Brody Van Wagenen has something that maybe he doesn't like, or that he's seen in the past that he doesn't want to offer Jacob deGrom a long-term deal, well, there's probably a dozen or two dozen other teams out there that would happily right. negotiate a long-term deal with Jacob deGrom. So I can't see him, you know, having to worry as much about that. But arbitration's kind of mano a mano. Here's my number. Here's your number. Here's the reason why we don't think you deserve this. Here's the reason why I do think I deserve this. It's a much messier, like you said, operation. And that's the one that I think would be more important for Brody Van Wagenen to not take part of, knowing whatever it is that he knows.
We're talking to Anthony DiComo from MLB.com, who covers the Mets. Two questions here, Anthony. Do we know yet who is going to be representing DeGrom? And what is your sense of the chances, that by the time spring training rolls around, or let's even set the date as the opening day of the season, that DeGrom will have a long-term contract? And is there a chance that this can even happen to avoid going to arbitration?
Sure. To answer the first question first, I asked that question when I talked to Jacob last week. He said he wasn't sure exactly what he was going to do representative-wise. And he said, you know, he's had some chats with Brody since he took the job. And one of the questions that Jacob asked was, well, have you talked to my agent? And Brody said, who's that? And Jacob said, I don't know. So obviously, until that situation gets worked out, and he should have an answer soon. As soon as that gets worked out, you know, then you can start maybe talking about a contract. Now, just my opinion, my perspective, having covered this situation for the past couple of years, where you would think maybe an extension has been realistic, I don't see anything having changed just because the Mets have a new GM. They would still have to pony up a market value deal for Jacob deGrom to sign him long term. And, you know, at that point, what are you talking about? You're talking about buying out his last two arbitration seasons, which are probably going to get him about $30, $35 million, assuming he stays healthy. And then probably tacking on minimum three, most likely four seasons on top of that. Maybe like the comp I've used in the past is a Jake Arrieta deal on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob deGrom is about to win the Cy Young Award, so you might even have to add a couple million dollars on that. I don't get the sense that this is a guy who's dying to take a hometown discount at this point in his career. He's so close to cashing in on free agency. And I do get the sense that he would have done that maybe even a year ago, certainly 2 years ago. But at this point, you know, the quote he used when I wrote a profile on him at the end of last season was, you know, at some point you bet on yourself, and the risk is much lower now because you only have two seasons to get through before you get to free agency. So, look, if the Mets come and they knock on the door with a market value deal, sure, I think it can be done. It can certainly be done this offseason. It can certainly be done whenever they make that phone call. I just don't see them doing that. I don't see ownership anteing up the money it would take. And from a baseball operations decision, you could certainly argue that it might not be the right deal. I understand how popular Jacob deGrom is. I understand how good Jacob deGrom is. But all it takes is one injury, all it takes is one bad season for his, you know, value to be a lot less than it is right now. You would be paying, at this point, having waited this long, you'd be paying a premium on what he just did. Odds are his 2019 season isn't going to be as good because he just had one of, I don't know, the six best seasons in the last 25 years in baseball. So that's no knock on Jacob deGrom. It's just saying how good he was in 2018. You never want to buy high and sell low.
Very good time for him to have the season that he did. Agreed. Anthony, good stuff. Appreciate you coming on board. Thanks, bud.
Thanks, Anthony.
You got it. Anytime at all.